So, all of us here will have different relationship with Sangharakshita. Maybe you've come along fairly recently and you've just seen his name on the spines of the books in the bookshop. You may not even notice that. If you have, you'll have noticed that there are rather a lot of those books. You may have noticed that there are some of the books are in a series called The Collected Works, which aren't all there. It's partly because they haven't all been published, and in fact they're not all being printed in order, but in total there are going to be 27 volumes of it. And if you've looked at any of the volumes that are there, you'll have noticed that they're all rather large already. So 27 of those is an awful lot of words. So if you've come along and you're thinking, well, I'd like to read Sangharakshita's writing, then you have a long journey ahead of you. It'll be something like 15,000 pages of writing. So that's one part of what this man did with his life. He was a writer. And he's written a lot. But it's just one part of what he did with his life. So, I've been thinking, maybe I'll just speak personally. I first met Bhante when I was 16 years old. He'd have been in his early 50s, I suppose. And that was just a brief hello. And then I last saw him a year ago. And when I went to visit him, we actually worked on a piece of writing together. And in the middle, I had a great deal of contact with him. I lived at a community called Majjhimaloka for 6 years. And for the first 3.5 of those years, we had the community had dinner, and Bhante came and joined us. So I had dinner with Bhante every night. It was a rather awkward experience. Those of you who had it, I had that experience for 3.5 years. But within that, I made a strong connection with Bhante, as well as the connection that I had simply by being an order member. Bhante founded our order 50 years ago. We're marking the 50th anniversary this year, and started the movement a year before that. And even that is just part of his life. But for me, Bhante for me is the person who opened up the Dharma, opened up what the Buddhist teachings are. And he did that in so many ways. You know, one thing about Bhante, let's start with the obvious things, is that he, you know, so much of the Buddhist tradition has been so alive for him in his own life. You know, he loved the Buddhist scriptures and knew them in his bones. To a man who read tremendously and remembered what he read. I remember, I was fairly young, Bhante, someone asked Bhante, what, if he was on a desert island, what 6 records would he take, and what book? Assuming he had the Bible and Shakespeare. And he said, well, for the music, it's just the usual things you'd imagine, Haydn and Mozart and Beethoven. The book, well, I've been reading the Buddhist scriptures all my life. If I don't know them by now, then it's probably too late. But if I have the Bible, then I'd really like to have a notebook so that I could write my comments on the Bible as I go through it. That gives you quite a lot of Bhante, the several sides of him. So he's a man who discovered the Dharma as a teenager. He read these very profound texts, a very impressionable age, the Diamond Sutra, the Sutra of Weilang, and had some kind of experience which stayed with him all through his life. I talked to him about that. You know, just how real and palpable that experience of reading the Diamond Sutra, which is a very, very mysterious text, if you ever think to open it. It's like the Heart Sutra, only even more so. And it changed him. You know, he's a very prodigious child who grew up in Tooting. Actually, my mother went to see him recently. She's an order member, and she grew up in Herne Hill, which is down the road in South London. And they chatted about South London in the 19... Well, she's 10 years younger than him, but in the 1940s. And about the bookie in Tooting Beck, who her dad had gone to see. And Bhante said, "Ah, yes, my father knew him as well." So he had that kind of upbringing, but he clearly didn't really belong in that world. And then he read these books, and it opened up a sense of immensity for him. So those were the things that, even as a teenager, he brought to his engagement with the world. You know, this profound realization of something to do with the Buddhist vision, and this amazing intellect, his capacity to read, and a very strong, passionate nature, emotional, but in a very, very English way. It comes out in his poetry and otherwise. And then this kind of mythic quality to Bhante's life. He went east. I think it has a mythic quality because he saw it in those terms. He became... Well, he was actually the Second World War that took him out there, listening to Japanese telegraph signals. Is that what you call it? Morse code, anyway. All that stuff. Yes, with his specs and his headphones on. And then he deserted. Well, the war was over. He did, but before he was demobbed, he went off. He went forth. And eventually became a Buddhist monk. Imagine him as being very devout, but he didn't like being the status that the monasticism gave him. He didn't like it. And he didn't like the monastic mentality that he encountered. People thinking that they knew it because they'd inherited this tradition. Didn't like it. At the same time, there was something in monasticism that he loved. And he went on a journey developing his own version of Buddhism, really. Mahayana, Vajrayana, met the Tibetan Lamas. So, and this all the time writing poetry. Became involved with this incredible historical moment, which was millions of people from the untouchable, as they were called by the Hindu community, the caste system, transforming their lives under the leadership of Dr. Ambedkar by becoming Buddhists. And he did his best to respond and was very, very effective, more effective than anyone else in that time in the 1950s. And then he came to the West, and long story short, he started our Buddhist movement. To meet Bhante, to go to visit him, as many of us have done at Adisthana or Majjhima Loka before that, was to step into a certain atmosphere. When he was younger, he was able to emanate that atmosphere through his lectures, particularly through his teaching and through his personality, through his role as a teacher. But to go to him as an old man was to step into this world. It's a slow world, as it often is when you go to see an old person, but a very mindful world. Every word he said, really through his whole life, was measured, considered, deep. This atmosphere of awareness, openness, just emanated through that room. He'd take you in. There's a key sentence that Bhante wrote about his in some ways, his seminal book, which is Survey of Buddhism, if I can remember it. He says that when he's writing the survey, this is his great work as a young man. I mean, actually, it's part of a much bigger work, life's work. But he wanted to see Buddhism in its breadth and in its depth, and, paraphrasing, to make sense of its depth in terms of what it meant for the spiritual life of the individual. So these are the dimensions that Bhante was concerned with as a Dharma teacher. Breadth, and he's incredibly broad. You know, he makes available to us and to Westerners in general the whole, well, not the whole, but many, many areas of aspects of the Buddhist teachings. Some of my favourite of Bhante's books are his commentaries on Mahayana sutras. You know, which, and some of them, if you read them, you will not necessarily get anything very much from doing so, apart from a sense of being transported into a magical world. But by reading Bhante's commentary on them, they become relevant to me and my life and our collective life. And that's Bhante's capacity. He does this in so many ways, to take these texts, to take and to make sense of them in his own experience by living them out and feeling them, experiencing them deeply, and then making teachings of them. And to bring that together with early Buddhist texts, the words of the Buddha, the mythic, the imaginal, to bring that together with the arts, his deep immersion in particularly poetry, but the whole of literature, which is enough for most people. In fact, it's beyond, far beyond most people. But it's just, again, part of what Bhante does. And in its depth. And in relation to the spiritual life of the individual. So, in some ways, Bhante, and in some ways, Triratna, is, you know, there's a lot of Pali, there's a lot of Sanskrit, there's a lot of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. You know, at least in Bhante's version of it, there's a lot of poetry and art and all that sort of thing. In another way, we're very, very down-to-earth sort of Buddhist movement that he's created. So one part of Bhante's life's work and achievement was his writing. Another part is the Buddhist movement that he created. And Bhante's great genius for me is the capacity to bring to life a sense of the what he called the vertical dimension, the higher levels of human experience. And then, which he lived and breathed, that was where his mind was. This vastly expanded sort of world that was very much connected with poetry and art and myth and the Dharma. And to connect that with things that are very, very down to earth. So his most distinctive teachings are around things like spiritual friendship, which on the one hand is spiritual and on the other hand is friendship. He's not saying that we should pretend to be spiritual with each other or our friendship should be terribly spiritual. He's saying that we should be friends. We should engage with each other. We should meet each other fully, but do so as Dharma practitioners. And when we bring those two things together, you know, the elevated and the idealistic, with the ordinary and the human, we bring those two things together, that's when something really important happens. That's when the spiritual life becomes not some kind of Asiatic fantasy, not some kind of form of escape, but something that's grounded and real, and also has this, what he called, open dimension. It's easy to think of him and in terms of his limitations, which are there as well, his blind spots and his flaws. But I think as you get older, you realise how hard it is to do anything really substantial with your life. Do you know what I mean? How hard it is to make a real difference to anything at all. So, you know, we try with our family and our friends and so on. So when I think about what Bhante did with his life, I feel a sense of awe. Someone I used to live in sharing a community with someone who was an assistant to a very famous composer. I won't say who, it's not fair to say who. Very famous composer. And I said to him, well, it must be really interesting to be around this person whose, you know, his works are being performed around the world and there are revivals and festivals and all the rest of it. And he said, well, he didn't even say it actually, just the look on his face told me that the reality of this person was not like that. You know, it's one thing to be a great man and to have knighthoods and things. But that can become a kind of an outward show. Inside is a rather small person who is trying to live up to their reputation and being fed by the reputation. That's more or less what my friend said about this composer. Well, Bhante wasn't like that. Inside the achievements was a real person who had his struggles, but had this very, very deep realization